The show you're about to hear is a member of the Plains Talkers Podcast Network. To find out more, go to PlainsTalkersPodcast.com. Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, hey, you know what? I didn't watch very much sports this weekend, co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, sir, how are you tonight?
Actually, you're kind of correct. I watched like part of one basketball game.
Do I know my friend or do I know my friend? Well, before
Although I love March Madness.
I do too. But before we begin tonight, we'd like to remind you that this episode and every episode of the Plains Talkers podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. With locations in Catskill, New York, and on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Gallery in Poughkeepsie, New York, Kerwin's Game Store is the absolute best place to go in gaming. They have an awesome store, but they also have a great website. You can find them at KGS Online. That stands for Kerwin's Game Store or Kite Go Samuel Online.com. Don't forget, you get 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout. We also want to take a second to recognize our rare level patrons: Spencer, Chiba Tank, Bell, Levi, George, David, Brian, Apollo, and Muertes Favor. We also want to shout out our mythic rare patron, Jonathan, and our producer patrons. This is incredible. Ian, Carrot, John, Jake, Jamie, and Vic. Listen, these people help out the shows in so many, many, many ways. One thing they get is, the big thing is, especially right now, is you guys will find at the end of the show tonight, we're going to announce the Win a Box event, and they are the only ones right now who can sign up. Any level of patron are the only ones who can sign up. Find out more, go to patreon.com/planestalkers. They also get first dibs at our seats in Commander Craft. Now, we have our episode set for this week because we didn't roll last week, but Commander Craft is our Wednesday show where we play listeners like you using webcams and four-person commander, paper commander. I am the champion because I'm amazing. And so you're not going to want to miss that. It's Wednesday night at 7. We're also proud to be the flagship podcast for the Plains Talkers network of podcasts. Our sister show, Cantrip Cartel, is launched. They're on anchor.fm. Jake is actually in our chat right now, and that's at anchor.fm/Cantrip Cartel. Download them on most podcatchers. They're on Apple, Spotify, Google, Lugal, Boogle, all of them. So hit them up on our Discord as well. They have their own channel. Finally, we are proud to remind you that we have our part of the Geek to Geek Media Network. This is a network of geeky podcasts and other content dedicated to promoting positivity and inclusion, as well as just showcasing some really great geeky stuff. They have a ton of great content for you to take. Go ahead and check it out, geektogeekmedia.com. And one more thing. We want to remind you, and we're going to talk about it a bunch of times tonight, Saturday, this Saturday, 1 p.m., is our Extra Life broadcast. It's a Commander Craft show, but it's kind of both of our shows. It's going to be going all day long. We're going to be playing Paper Commander Spell Table. If you want to get in on that, come to our Discord, let us know. I have a form all set up there for letting us know. We're getting people put in now. And again, it's all going to a good cause. It's going to the Albany Children's Hospital. But we're still in untap, and I'm going to untap a brand new beer. This one is called, kind of appropriately actually, District 96 Oberkrieg, More Political Flow. So while I'm untapping that, Aramis, my friend, how the hell are you?
That's a very purple can.
It's very purple, but it's also a triple IPA at 11%. So.
Okay,
and
cool.
we're going so negative, dude.
Yeah, I know. This is like talking about the charity stream was the best. Is going to be the most positive, happy part of the stream.
No. The new Win a Box too will be positive.
Well, that too, yeah. But everything else is just doom and gloom.
Yeah, this is, I should have had a bumper ready. I just couldn't get one.
Oh my god. Well, yeah. Other than that, I'm doing okay. I mean, it was a decent weekend. We stayed around the house for the most part, and there were, you know, we had reasons for that. We were supposed to go up to see Will and his lady Wendy for her 50th birthday party, but we couldn't make it up because of some stuff that happened during the week. So we weren't able to make it.
Sorry to interrupt.
Hey babe, her chat didn't come up though.
Yeah, it, Facebook doesn't come up in. I don't know if it comes up in there or not. That's a very strange thing. Restream chat. I got to play around with the settings on the restream. But yes, go on.
Anyway, hi, babe. But yeah, it was a. Other than that, it was a pretty quiet weekend. Try to get some things done around the house since we were, you know, home. Yeah, you know, just, like you said, I only was able to catch like one part of one game of the college basketball tournament this weekend, which kind of sucks. I mean, like, it's kind of bittersweet for me. That used to be me and my mom's thing. We'd fill out a bracket every year.
Right.
And we just, you know, relentlessly tear into each other whenever a team that we picked lost. But I haven't really done, I've done a couple since she's passed, but not really. It's, you know, it's not the same. So,
yeah.
But I watched a couple, part of a game, like I said, and then otherwise just sort of chilled out for the weekend. How are you doing, bud?
Well, we had a weekend.
Yeah,
it was my wife's. It was my wife's birthday party. Planned it for a little bit of while. She had a great party. Took Friday off so that I could pick up her friend from the airport who's coming in from Michigan. A whole lot of her, our friends, but her like fraternity brothers. Basically, it was like a college party all over again. My wife was running around like just a damn fool. Like, everybody do shots. Let's do shots. Shot. I'm like, I got to drive, honey. No, but she. Oh, there we go. 21st anniversary of her 29th birthday. Nice. She had an absolute blast. So did I. I mean, okay. It was. This group of people, I mean, I'm so blessed. These are college friends of ours that, I mean, we just kind of keep the party going. So it was really kind of a lot of fun. It was a lot of work, you know, but we just, it was really great. And then Sunday we recovered because my legs were killing me. I mean, I threw the party. She planned it. She did a lot of the planning, but I threw it. I was like pretty much in charge of, you know, making sure everything got done and all this stuff. It was really worthwhile. I got her a cameo from Pandora Box because drag queen from RuPaul's Drag Race. I went to high school with Pandora. Like, was Applegate to my Joe Hardy and Damn Yankees. So I knew I could get this taken care of pretty quickly. My wife became a fan. So it was really kind of cool. And then I also got her a set of letters, like a new sweatshirt for her fraternity. Since her son is pledging it, and if he gets in, you know, all that stuff. So 22nd anniversary of hers on her Saturday. Wow, Parkman, you're living dangerously, my brother. But yeah, it was really kind of great. It was a good week. We had a good time. I'm glad it's over. We've got busy stuff. Her and I coming up. I mean, we've got the stream Saturday, the Extra Life stream Saturday. The week after, we're going back to Canandaigua. And then the week after that, we've got to go out of town for something else. And it's like, summer's already starting. We already have an event planned for July 9th. Like, I'm like, this is insane. Who does this? But I digress. But yeah, so overall, I can't complain. I'm excited, very excited for 420 when we go back to flights too. Very excited for this weekend's event. But you know, we have so much to get to tonight. So let's kind of break down. Let's go ahead and get right into upkeep. We're going to talk about State of Standard very, very briefly, like because there has been movement. So I want to kind of address it. But for the most part, you know, that's going to be a real quick tap before we get into. And I mean, we alluded to it last week during the show that there was a stream this past week dealing with the arena economy. And I'd like to think we were somewhat prestidigitatus about that. So and then we're going to talk. We don't really have a combat, though. I could see us falling into one. And then in main two, we're going to talk about, and this is an interesting one. We're going to talk a little bit about the controversy going on with another broadcast, I Hate Your Deck, and Michael Lynch. I feel like we should mention it because I think I want to mention it in a very, very granular way, but I also want to mention it in a, we're seeing more of this creep into this hobby. And things got to be taken care of. And then finally, we'll talk new Capenna shipping delays before our Winnebox. So, holy cow, do we have a lot to get to. I think we should go to Maine. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so.
Main phase.
Main phase. So here we are, 10 minutes into the show. We're going to go long. All right, so let's talk State of Standard. So I've got MTG Goldfish pulled up. We have seen movement. Mono White Aggro has bypassed the enchantments again.
Yeah, almost two to one.
Yeah, well, that's just it. I think they figured out, they broke the code. All right, so you got to ask yourself, are we going to see something get banned in this deck?
No.
No?
No, 17% is not big enough yet. If you're talking 25, 30% of the meta, then yeah. Okay. 17 is high. Once if it hits 20 or over 20%, then maybe we start talking about something, but nothing in here is, it's a lot of good synergies, but there's nothing that's like enabling something broken.
Well, here's the thing. All right, you might be true about that, but it's not just about decks. Wandering Emperor is in 47% of decks played in Standard right now. That could be a problem. Like,
possibly
47%.
The Wandering Emperor is a very good card. I don't think it's broken. I don't either.
It's just so much value.
It's a lot of value, but like, I think we talked about this last week or the week before. They never ban answers. And the Wandering Emperor is an answer.
Right.
They ban threats.
Yeah. So we're going to see. I'm not sure because I think we might see in some of the Eternal formats because I know it is warping a bit of the Eternal formats. But again, it's really an answer card. But yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, it's a really great card. I highly recommend it.
I heaped praise about it, last week, week before. I mean, it's just very well put together.
All right, it's in every one of the top five decks. It's in Mono White Aggro, 9 Enchantments, Celestia Midrange, Auras Off Control, and Auras Off Midrange. It has opened up quite a few things, but it's pretty much, it is what it is. I'm not going to put a deck on it. I'm not going to put a bet on it, but if I was to see a card that might get targeted before, I'm not going to say New Capenna, but I would say maybe before, what's after New Capenna is Dominaria, right?
Dominaria is the next one, I believe.
Yeah, so it's going to be rotation. Maybe. It depends on what they've got coming down the pike for Dominaria. But in any event, that's kind of standard. Like I said, 17.3% mono white. The biggest change has been Celestia Midrange. But again, it's living and dying by Wandering Emperor. So Wandering Emperor, they're running $20 right now, and I probably have to buy a playset. So that being said, did I miss the Arena announcement discussion?
Not yet. We're still smiling. You see, that's why you're talking about it.
This is the positive portion of the show. Before we get to,
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's just going to be, So let's pivot off of State of Standard, because as much as we love to, I could sit here and talk about that all day. All right. God, this is tough.
All geared up for this.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know what to do here. There's no real way to spin it.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it.
Let's pull the Band-Aid off. We mentioned last week that there was there was going to be a big weekly MTG broadcast where they're going to be talking about the new account. I shouldn't say new economy. Arena's economy.
The much, much anticipated, yes. Much delayed and talked about and stream.
Everybody has been talking about it. Everybody was excited. A lot of people were hopeful. We weren't. You and I were like, this could go sideways. This could go sideways.
Yeah, remember I said maybe the stream ends up being, maybe this product isn't for you. I hate it when I'm right. God damn it. I hate it. Why?
Yeah. All right, so the stream starts off, and I don't even know where to go. Basically, here's what it is. They're happy with the economy. Wizards is happy with the economy. That's kind of, if you were going to do a TLDR, they are happy with the state of Arena's economy right now. They are aware that we as a player base are not. However, I think they are, you know, they're trying to spin as far as, well, it's the paper people that are upset. The Arena people necessarily aren't. And they're wrong. Werdus hit it right on the head. He looked remarkably uncomfortable. I get it. These guys did not want to hand this information out.
Can I say something here?
Absolutely.
So when I was watching the stream, I don't know if it was just me.
It was just,
you know, obviously Chris, like you said, felt uncomfortable answering the questions, but it felt to me like Blake just didn't really want to be there at all. Like he could care. He like just the look, the way he was answering and his body language. It reminded me of bosses I used to have where you would bring a problem to them and they're like, and they'd be like, yeah, uh-huh. Okay. I understand. Get out of my office.
And that's just it. Blake's the developer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was one of the right. And he felt like he could not be bothered with this.
And that's kind of the problem I have with this entire setup is that I really felt watching this from a bird's eye perspective. And again, the problem I've been having with Wizards, and I'm starting to think it's systemic at this point, is that it seems to me that they really don't value us anymore. And maybe it's not Wizards, maybe it's Hasbro. But I'm going to stop laying Hasbro. This Wizards has a lot of control. They now can pretty much do whatever they want because they're so successful. So
it's not that they don't care about us. It's just they only care about our money.
Yeah.
Only care about our money.
No, it's they only care about our money and they only care about the complexities, not just the whales. All right. The developers don't care about whales. Okay. Working in IT, I can pretty much say without a doubt, we don't care how much money something we code makes, unless he's getting bonuses, which I doubt, because he's not, he's an implementer of policy, not a maker. But I think for him, what it is that everything we want requires hours upon hours upon hours of redesigning code. So from a technologist standpoint, I get that. I get that he's like, no. All right. Like, let's hit it. Like the big three things that came out. First of all, dusting. Let's talk about dusting. They're assholes. I'm going to put it out there right now. Wow, that's really good beer. But the fact is they were arrogant when it came to dusting. They acknowledged that a lot of people want to be able to dust, but then they followed that up with, and they tried a Jedi mind trick and going, but you really don't want to dust. You want to keep your cards. They tried to pass it off that it's a feel bad if you have to dust. Like if people are going to feel bad that they have to dust their cards to build the decks they want to play.
Yeah, that was they kind of piggybacked on it. They're like, yeah, cool. You know, we want the whole experience of being able to have, you know, keep a collection and everything else. By the way, those collections have no value, and if they shut off the servers, you lose everything.
Right. The minute they turned the servers off, we're done.
You lose everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're like, oh, we want to make sure people are encouraged to build collections, and we don't want the situation to come up where you dust some cards to make a deck, and then something happens, and you need those cards you dusted.
Right.
Or having the problem of, I don't know what I should dust. Let me go under Reddit and find out what I should dust.
Right. They're saying net decking is a problem. They're saying,
If people want to dust their cards, it's a choice that they make.
Right.
And they can always spend more money to get the cards back.
And that's just it. But they don't make more money when we dust our cards. And that's the problem. And again, it is also an incredible amount of coding involved. And there's, and here's the thing. I also get the fact that there is no way they win at dusting. I get that as well. Because, all right, so what do you say? 10 rares equal, you know, one rare wild? Four rares equal a wild? Like, I get that, that there's the math thing where nothing is going to make us happy unless it's one for one, which it can never be.
Yeah, they were saying that opening packs and making vault progress, which they were initially going to get rid of, but then they ended up keeping just because they just never got around to getting rid of it.
Right.
They're saying that's where dusting is.
Right.
So if they had gotten rid of the vault like they were originally going to, we wouldn't even have that.
Right. The fact is that so they basically told us, they're like, well, it's not off the table, but it's off the table. So they mentioned that dusting is really not something that's going to happen. Neither is, as an aside, while they were talking about that, they're like, and we've heard talk to about how you want to spend, you know, two rares to get a mythic or two mythics to get a rare or blah, blah. They're like, we're not going to do that either. And it's yeah. like, well, that's just horseshit.
Yeah, being able to upshift or downshift your right. your wild cards into something that you like, because one of the problems in the standards, like in standard, is that you have to use your rare wild cards for the mana base a lot of right. the time.
Well, that's just it. That's what I'm gonna hit that next. The mythic pack. All right, so this is kind of where they were like, look what we're gonna do for you though. We're gonna offer you the mythic pack. Here's the thing, folks. Any of you who play Arena, including me, I've been playing Arena again lately. I'm willing to bet that most of you have more mythic wild cards than you have rare. That, and when you're going to build a deck, you require more rare than mythic because the mana base is rare. And not letting us backward compatible on our mythic rares. Well, there you go. So
you remember at one point in the stream they were talking about, you know, people have a large collection of uncommon and common wild cards.
Right.
And Blake was like, pro tip, when a new set comes out, if you spend all your common and uncommon wild cards, you fill up your collection faster. Therefore, you get more gems and wild cards and more vault progress. It's like condescending way he said that.
Yeah.
It's like, no shit. We know that already. That's not the right. point.
But we don't want, and that's just it. They don't, they sit there and think that, you know, and I was even listening to MTG Goldfish earlier today that, you know, nobody's really collecting. Like, here's the thing. This is not MTGO, okay? Our collections mean absolute dick to anyone else, all right? Like, when they shut the servers off, there's no money. There's no nothing. I mean, I lived through them shutting off Duel of the Planeswalkers or Origins Duels or whatever they called it. And I didn't get anything back from that, and I threw some money at it. Like, it's just nobody's going to collect sets. And you're not rewarded for collecting sets. Okay? Understand this. We have talked about this many times, that part of the reason that there is so little innovation anymore in Magic decks is that Arena doesn't reward it. Arena rewards you climbing the ladder. And to climb the ladder is all about your win percentage. So it doesn't encourage you to brew. It doesn't encourage you to find a new deck that might spike a tournament. It's pretty much because you can't get in the tournament until you're mythic. So unless you're going to pay for it. So it's just a whole lot of shit. I'm sorry. Pardon my French. But... go ahead.
And I wanted to circle back to the mythic booster. How much does the mythic booster cost?
1,300 coins. Sorry.
1,300 gold.
Yep.
As opposed to 1,000 for a regular booster. Now you're guaranteed a rare or mythic, usually a mythic.
No, it's not rare or mythic. It is mythic or a mythic rare wild card. You're guaranteed mythic.
It's not always a mythic rare wild card.
Will it be a rare wild card?
It says unless it's replaced by a wild card. They don't specify if it's a mythic wild card. So wow. I think there's a chance it could be a rare wild card.
And Muertis just resubscribed for 2 months. Thank you, Muertis.
But here's, that wasn't the only thing they introduced.
Right. Well, no, we're not done with that, but that's what, so what a mythic pack is, well, we should talk about it because we got off on it, is that a mythic pack is instead of the rare slot, it's guaranteeing you that at that rare slot, it's going to be a mythic level or a mythic wild card. That's it. So, or you're saying it could be a rare wild card?
The wording is a little ambiguous. I imagine it's probably a mythic. I imagine it's a mythic wild card, but I...
And here's the thing. If it's a rare wild card, now, you know what? I'd be almost about that. Don't give me a rare card. Give me a rare wild card. I'm okay with that. All right? That's not a horrible thing for an extra... But it's an extra 300 coins. But then there was the other bomb they dropped.
Yeah.
What did they call it? Wild card.
The wild card bundle.
The wild card bundle.
Yeah. I like this.
What
one.
A crock.
Can I talk about this one, please?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Wrong. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. It's fine. So the wild card bundle. They were saying that, they think that just opening packs to collect cards and get wild cards is a little inefficient, as they said. You think? So starting with Nuka Penna.
The little giggle is what just did it for me. Starting with Nuka Penna.
I'm with you. Yeah, you could buy a wild card bundle for $50.
$50, not coins, not gems, only 50 American dollars.
Yeah, you can't buy this with coins or gems. It has to be 50 USD, and I think it's actually going to be more if it's, it'll be like 50 pounds, which is more money, more than $50. If you're in England. So that contains 12 rare wild cards and 4 mythic wild cards, which on its face
seems good.
Okay. Yeah. Seems okay. The problem is that they didn't do their homework, and Pleasant Kenobi already did.
Yeah, the math.
And then so did Amazonian.
And everybody
else.
So
what happens, and everybody else, that same $50 gets you a large number of packs. You get a bunch of gems, and you use those gems to get packs. I think it's like 46 packs.
Well, you end up getting the half box.
It's about 45, 46 packs of cards for that same amount of money. Converted from gems, from cash to gems to packs.
Right.
The problem is that you get about the same number of mythic wild cards and rare wild cards in addition to all the other regular rares / mythics that you would get, plus all the other uncommons and commons that you would get.
Which might be so what you want, by the way. You might pull what you want. Right.
You might end up pulling what you want anyway. And in the meantime, if you don't, you're still getting a bunch of wild cards. So this just seems
and the wheel.
Like and you get wheel progress and vault progress.
Right.
So
this
I mean,
wild card I'm combo, gonna, you don't.
I'm gonna pull just the obvious thing out here. This is a pig. I'm putting lipstick on this pig.
Yeah.
Still a pig. You know what the pig is? A cash grab. This is exactly what this is. This is just a blatant cash grab.
It is 100%. It's a magic trick. It's now you see me.
They're waving smoke and mirrors and say, oh, you're getting such a value for $50. But if you know anything about how their economy works and how buying packs works, you know that it's not actually a value. You're better off buying the packs.
You are much better off buying the packs. There's no way that this. Here's the thing. I get it in some regards. This might be good for some people. Some people might be like, I don't want to open packs.
Who is
I don't
this?
Want to deal
Who
with
is this
it.
Person? Who is
you
this
know
person?
What? I don't know. I really don't.
Because,
but like, I think you get two mythics with the. If you open 45 packs, you're going to end up with two mythics.
I think it's three mythics.
Yeah, three mythics and like seven wild
rare wild cards and like three mythic wild cards plus 46 rares and or mythics.
Plus, the odds are you're going to pull at least one or two wild cards out of that just because
you're going to pull several. At least a few wild cards, not to mention just, you know,
the wheel progress in the vault. Yeah.
And you're getting uncommon wild cards and common wild cards.
So there is absolutely no way that this is.
There's no reason to get this.
No. So I'm going to make a request of our listeners right now. Don't buy this, no matter how enticing it is. Do not make this a thing. Wizards needs to start I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to put it out there. I want this to fail. I want Arena to fail. I'm ready for Arena to fail. I think you've done. I think you got a little crazy. I think you have to slow your roll. I think you guys got all excited about the pandemic, and you've lost sight of what makes this game worthwhile. And it is not, you know, being able to play it on the crapper. I know when I first started this show, that was my big joke, and I was all excited. But at the end of the day, I like sitting across the table and playing Magic with somebody. I like being able to collect things. I like, you know, okay, card values fluctuate. I get that. Right now, the Wandering Emperor is $28 a pop, or what, $20 a pop. When it goes out of standard, it'll go down to like 10. Maybe not. But in any event, I can believe in the consistency of the marketplace dictating the price of that card. What I can't deal with these days is Arena's complete lack of knowledge or foresight or thinking about us, the customer. You know,
one of the things that they did with this pack, with this wild card bundle, is now they've put price tags on Arena decks. They've now telling you how much these decks are worth.
Exactly.
Because now you know how much rare wild cards are and how much mythic wild cards more or less are. And now you look at some of these decks that have, you know, 16, 24 rares and like 8 mythics, and like, okay, well, now this deck is $250 in Arena, where it's like $175 in paper or whatever, you know, right. Just spitballing numbers out there. But they're putting a price tag on Arena decks, whereas before that was harder to do. Whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't even care, because 99% of that stream for me was exactly how I thought it would go. And I was very sad that it went the way that I thought it would go.
I agree.
Because I said it last week, they were going to probably come out and say, oh, maybe this product's not for you. They basically just priced out a bunch of people. And, you know, we know that Alchemy's not going away. If anything, they're leaning harder into it.
And it's going to fail. It's still going to fail. Yeah. Nobody's playing it. No, and I'm going to take that one. I'm right. Nobody's playing Alchemy.
The only positive thing that I saw that came out of that stream, and this is just
thank
for
you, Muertis.
And I'm not even sure if this ends up actually being a positive, because I'm not sure how it's going to affect Brawl. Is they did say that they are working. I mean, this is, you know, who knows when or if this will happen, but they did say that they are working towards a new Eternal format that is not historic and not Pioneer, but also not Alchemy. They want one that's they're going to put a format in there that's paper, that's a paper analog, basically.
Right.
They're going to say, okay, it's the exact same cards in print as they are in real life. There's no Alchemy. There's no rebalancings. The only thing I'm wondering is that will that new Eternal format include Brawl? If it does, I'll go back and play that at least. But if not, I mean, I'm still hands off with Arena.
Here's what they're going to do. They're going to call it Arena Eternal. It's going to come out. They did say
that format was going to be a bridge to Pioneer.
Right. They know. Okay. Here's what's going to happen. Okay. They drop Alchemy mid rotation cycle. Okay. They dropped it in January. Okay, so by doing this, okay, and by what they'll do is they'll start talking about it now so that when it is time for Arena to rotate, when it's Dominaria, whatever they're calling it, Dominaria United or whatever, that they know full well that people are going to go, but I want to play my card as it's freaking written and you're rotating it out and I want gold. They have to make an Eternal format by rotation. They cannot not make one.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But there has to be something by the end of the year, at the very least. If they don't get it in time for rotation, they can put it in at the end of the year and say, listen, we'll do something. We'll throw you some sort of, you know, token bone to make up for not having it in time for rotation. But it feels like such a waste.
It is. It's
so damn disappointing that this product is for them was literally the goose that laid the golden egg. I mean, really, that's it. This client was going, it makes them money hand over fist. They make so much money off of Arena. I mean, they had $1 billion a year last year. I mean, come on. Yep. That's insane. I don't think anybody ever expected Wizards to be a $1 billion company.
Yep.
Year over year.
It's a problem. And
it needs to be fixed. And I think somebody said that in the comment. It needs a reboot, basically.
They did.
Break it all down and build it back up from the start.
There's no way they will, though. There's too much money at stake now. There's too much money.
There's too much money at stake.
The only way that it happens is if we leave it. Is if we go away. Now, here's my hope, but I don't know if Wizards will let it happen. Daybreak Games comes in and hits it out of the park. You make MTGO a real, you're going to find, and this is what I still don't understand. It's like, if you, by putting money into MTGO like development, you're competing against yourself.
Kind of.
Although
I guess the MTGO, the core player base of MTGO is a different community than the core arena community. I think it's pretty safe to say that. I mean, I'll end that by saying this is me being Princess Leia putting into R2-D2. Save us, Daybreak Games. You're our only hope.
Right. Here's what the Eternal format's going to be in arena. I can almost guarantee it. It's going to be they'll do Eldritch Moon. They'll release Eldritch Moon Remastered.
I think they're going to go from Ravnica.
It'll be Eldritch Moon Remastered all the way through. No, because Kaladesh is in there. Why not? And so is Amonkhet.
Return to Ravnica, I think it's going to be the beginning.
They can't do Return to Ravnica because it's Pioneer. If they do Return to Ravnica, then it's Pioneer. So that would be great. I'd love to see it. Ain't gonna happen. Here's the thing. That guy's attitude during the stream was so negative. And again, because I work in technology, his negativity really seemed to stem from the fact that he doesn't want to code that stuff. And
what
here's
was
the
one thing they were saying about technology.
Yeah.
They kept going back to technology. Yeah. This can't be done because of technology. I'm like,
that's
motherfucker,
bullshit.
It's 2022.
Yeah.
All right. You're again, $1 billion company, $500 million in profits. You can't tell me that it can't be at least looked at.
Yeah.
In a serious lens, and you hire more developers.
Exactly. Yeah.
Bullshit.
So, it's horseshit. It's crap.
It's sad.
It is sad. I think we need to see something new. And I don't think we're going to. And I don't think it's fair. I really don't. I wish they'd do something.
I wanted Arena to succeed. I wanted it to be amazing and, you know, be the next step up from MTGO, you know, and that way
another bit from Huertas. Thank you, sir. Sorry.
Thank you. Like, so if they decided to phase out MTGO, that would hurt less because it's like, well, we can migrate your collection onto, because they had the whole Unity thing,
right?
And it's supposed to be so much easier to code in Unity. That was the whole thing they were plugging when they were first developing Arena, saying, oh, it's Unity based, that way it's so much easier to add the cards, da 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 da. Well, if it's so easy, fucking do it.
But it's going to impact their profit. That's the problem.
Boo-hoo.
All right, here's the thing. They believe that their profits stem from rotation. But that's Wizards overall. Understand this. They don't really have, other than Commander and Legacy, an Eternal format anymore. They don't. Vintage is kind of dead. It's Legacy and Commander are the two Eternal formats. They have introduced rotation with the Modern Masters. Or Modern Horizons.
Modern Horizons. Yeah,
they have introduced rotation into Modern. They have introduced rotation in Pioneer is a given because of the fact it's standard. I'm sorry, there is no more Eternal format because Arena showed them that there's money to be made in rotation, that there is money to be made there, so they're going to do it. Now, I'm a capitalist. I'm okay with you making money. I do. I like the fact knowing that Magic's going to be here. But, yeah. So the reason that MTGO is going away is it's kind of rotation proof. It really is. It's going to be, you know. So, but Arena needs to have rotation. They're going to make an Eternal format. But here's the thing. What'll happen is they will introduce this new Eternal format. come around Dominaria, because they don't want us to bitch about the fact that five sets are going away and they become alchemy, and they don't want people bitching about that. So they'll introduce this new set, but like they did with Brawl in the beginning, and I'm calling my shot here, they're going to limit when you can play it, they're going to limit the fact that it's on the ladder, and they're going to limit everything about it. Okay. That is my thinking.
It wouldn't surprise me in the least. I mean, again, I would like to keep out that small, like, dimly lit candle of hope that they just say, here's a new format. I don't even care if it's on the ladder. I don't care about the ladder. The ladder, I think, is the worst thing they did to with Arena.
The
too.
Ladder like, has broken ladder. Magic all the way around, paper, and again, it has stifled innovation. Take the ladder out. But I get it.
Yeah, it sucks. It all sucks.
Well, the only other thing, and again, this is kind of more speculation from MTG Goldfish, but I kind of agree with it. They were kind of talking to, because they did mention something about limited versus constructed as far as the economy goes, and that they realize that there's no real incentive for constructed as much as limited, because they're saying.
Yeah, they're tweaking the reward structure.
Which is bad, because what's going to happen is they're going to take away gems and coins and give you packs.
No, they're putting in gems to the constructed formats, because that was generally only giving you coins before.
Right, so it's going to take ICRs away and other stuff like that. I'm okay with, yeah.
Which, again, helps them anyway, because, oh, you need ICRs. Well, hey, we have this lovely wild card bundle.
No, DC Dilla, when we say rotation, what we mean is... Every year, in the fall release of the product, or late summer, I should say, they do go through something called rotation and standard. It then basically takes the last four sets out. So at this rotation this year, it'll be Strixhaven, Kaldheim, Zendikar Rising, and
I think everything before Kamigawa. I think
Adventures,
rotates.
Yeah, and Adventures in the Forgotten Realm. Those four sets will rotate. They will not be standard legal anymore. So, yeah, and Adventures of Forgotten Realm.
Yeah, starting with Innistrad, anything before Innistrad will no longer be legal in standard.
Right. So, and then they will be Innistrad, and Kaldheim.
Kamigawa,
I should say, yeah. Yeah, Capenna.
And New Capenna, and then Dominaria.
The latter is when you play ranked. It's another word for the latter. It's where... You have a bronze level, and then you go to silver, then you go to gold, then platinum, then diamond, then mythic. So what happens is that they only really reward for mythic. You get like more rewards for making mythic and things like that. If you want to play in their opens and stuff, you have to be a mythic level. So what happens, and really the only way to do that is to win. So the ladder... is climbing the ladder. It's winning, playing 100 games and hoping you get 60 wins out of it. It's a real... And again, my contention, and I think Aramis agrees with me here, is that the ladder stifles innovation and creativity, because if all you're trying to do is win games repeatedly, you're just going to net deck, or you're just going to take the best aggro deck you can in best of one, or you're going to take the best control deck you can, or whatever, combo deck in best of three, whatever you're going to do. Most people, and the numbers are saying this, are playing best of one. They don't want to deal with sideboarding. They're like, I want to play and win or lose and go. And
The way that the ladder is constructed, basically your matches are determined by kind of an ELO rating. And they take your win loss ratio, the deck you're playing, the decks you have played, and pair you against someone that they think is a good matchup for you based on those numbers. And the ladder in and of itself completely incentivizes winning. There is zero incentive for, like you said, innovation or playing just for the sake of playing.
Right.
There are very few rewards in Magic for playing just for the sake of playing, although they were like, oh, well, the daily quests really are what that's for. And it's like, those are horseshit.
Yeah,
but I'm hoping that they make that a little more robust, because there is such a focus on winning. It's all front loaded on winning, that there's no point in playing a random deck that you think is fun, and then you just get smashed by tournament decks for the next 6 hours.
Right, and they need, but you need the rare wild cards to build the winning decks, and so they make their money. It all comes back around.
The only way to go infinite on Arena is to draft and do very well at drafting.
You have to be good at draft, which, let's face it, six of us are. All right, let's go pay some bills, and then we'll come back and we'll go to main two.
When toxic culture has you down,
when you're just looking to laugh and have fun,
kick back and enjoy watching a video game,
or just make some new friends,
it's time to visit the Geek to Geek Media Network,
a community of podcasters, streamers, and bloggers.
Well, more of a family than a community.
All dedicated to geeking out about the things we love. Things like
video games,
Star Wars, beep,
comics,
movies,
K-pop,
Disney Plus,
Keanu
Reeves,
new,
or whatever our community decides is the next best thing.
That's right. We have a great online community on Slack and Discord where we chat about our weekly geekery with listeners and viewers.
And each other.
Yep, and each other in real time, and we can't wait for you to join us.
So come check us out at geek2geekmedia.com.
And escape toxic fandom for something much more...
Keanu?
Yes, Keanu.
Main phase.
Yeah, that's right. I skipped combat. I don't care. We're already at 45 minutes. So, all right. We're going to talk a little bit now about something a little bit more controversial. So, again, sticking with the negative Nelly.
Nice positive add into more negative.
Yes, into more negative. Oh, jeepers. So, Aramis and I, a few weeks ago, were talking. And, you know, we talked during the week about show topics and stuff. And he's like, hey, take a look at this. And he sends me this tweet talking about Michael Lynch, who is the sole provider now of I Hate Your Deck, which is another podcast. Or, well, not a podcast. It's a playcast where they play Commander in a store. Very popular, very well done. The card, you know, it's really well produced. It's kind of better than Game Nights, in my opinion.
In some respects, it definitely is.
Yeah, but so he sent me this, and we kind of talked about it. We were both like, you know, it's still kind of a rumor. I was like, it's one article in one newspaper in Tampa Bay. Nobody's picked it up. I'm like, not piling on this guy.
I remember we were talking about it, and I was saying I would rather wait until we get more information, because heaven forbid we come out with talking about this ends up not being true, and it's just a big mess.
Hot take from Jake. Game Nights is unwatchable. Wow.
I can understand the opinion.
Yes.
I can understand that opinion. It's like the appeal
for me.
Get
a little bit jive sometimes.
Yeah, it can get a little jive. Like the appeal for me on Game Nights is the production value. It's through the roof. The production value is through the roof. The negative part of Game Nights is the fact that it feels a little scripted.
It is. And I mean, what? You mean Posty keeps winning? And, all right. So, in any event, Your Deck is really, it came out of nowhere mid to late last year is when I started to discover it. I liked it. They had a little bit of problems towards the end of the year with one of their hosts, and they kind of got rid of him. They started making positive changes, and I was all for it. But then this information came out that Michael David Lynch, he's a filmmaker as well as, you know, they call him a podcaster, but it's not really that, as well as a personality within the community. And basically the TLDR is that in a movie he made about 8 years ago, he was auditioning actresses and saying that there would be some nudity. However, this actress that he wanted apparently was uncomfortable with that, and he told her during the process, he's like, look, you'll have final approval of the nude scene. And if you don't like it, they shot it two ways. Well, at first she took the job, and then she had problems day of shooting, and he got, you know, so they worked this deal out, and then all of a sudden she saw the scene and she's like, I don't like it. I really don't want it in there. Can you use the one with the t-shirt? And he lost his mind. And it's, again, 8 years ago, but he got very upset. started kind of insulting her, started doing this, threatened her with, you know, I'm going to put it out anyway, said something to the effect of, you should, you know, I've shown this scene to a lot of guys and they want to have sex with you, and so you should be all about it. I mean, just a lot of negative stuff, like, you know, not cool. But it was 8 years ago. It was before Me Too, and a lot of people said that. That being said, this came out, and his, you know, they interviewed the girl again, and she mentioned, yes, it happened. He interviewed him. He said, yes, it happened. And then he kept going.
I can give some more context in this because I've been absolutely following this pretty closely. So the Tampa Times published a story. I think it was based off an older story by the Washington Post talking about young actresses being pressured into nude scenes and sex scenes as a way for them to get into the industry.
Right.
Which, you know, just
which is why we don't see James Franco anymore. The same reason. Same. It is the exact same reason.
So this all happened, and we really hadn't heard anything from her about this until this article came up. And so the part I think that really sunk his ship was that he started using the official I Hate Your Deck Twitter to basically slander this actress. I don't have her name in front of me.
Benita Robledo.
Thank you. Yeah. So Benita. Basically saying how she was having an affair and that all this other stuff was going on.
She's into sex. Then, she's into kinky stuff. Blah, blah, blah.
Right. All this stuff. And eventually he apologized to her for all of this. And she initially accepted the apology. What ended up happening, though, is that when he apologized to her, she didn't realize that he had just been spending the last couple of days on Twitter badmouthing her about this situation. So she retracted her acceptance of the apology, which I think is fair. She's like, I didn't know the whole full story. You apologized, but basically were talking bad about me behind my back while you were apologizing. And he apparently was withholding works that she had done with her friends, that she was like a passing pet project to hers. He wouldn't release it unless she agreed to the scene. He was holding on to an award that she won unless she agreed to the scene. All this stuff was coming out, and the apology was initially well received by the community. Like they flipped out when it first came out. Like the MTG Twitter went nuts, and they were like, this is horrible. You know, what's going on? Well, what's going to happen? He apologized, and a lot of people were like, thank you for apologizing, you know, because he does show to be, or at least appear to be, someone who's inclusive and accepting and
right.
wants to give a good vibe. And people were like, all right, cool. You did a really sleazy thing, but you apologized. You owned up to it. Apparently he's going to therapy, and that's great. But then it turns out that the apology was while he was bad talking her.
Right.
So that, I think, was the last straw for a lot of people. And
yeah, I'm with you.
The show I Hate Your Deck was a very good show. I haven't laughed so hard watching Magic content in a long time. I mean, they have great guests on. It's a very casual, organic experience. I mean, there's not really much in the way of salt. It's a great show altogether. But now with all this that's come out, it's like,
And that's just it. I mean, what's really making this draw, you know, I don't want to sit here and gossip, but the reason we're bringing this up is, like, first of all, it is news. I mean, the professor has come out, I think, and said he's not going back on. He's been on a couple of times.
He's been on a few times. Rachel Weeks has been on a few times. It was in consideration to be the new permanent co-host. She's like, I'm not working with him ever again.
Right.
Olivia Gobert-Hicks hasn't come out and said that she's not working with him anymore, but I can tell based on the one or two tweets that she said about it that she doesn't want anything to do with this anymore because she's been on the show a couple of times. She was one of my favorite guests on the show.
Yeah.
He's lost his sponsors, Card Kingdom and Moxfield. Haven't heard from Dragon Shield yet, but I would not be surprised if they pulled out as well. This appears to be the end of I Hate Your Deck.
Yeah. I mean, if he's not going to have sponsors, I can't imagine that he's going to, you know.
He may be able to continue without sponsorship because, you know, it's YouTube. You can still publish basically whatever you want.
Right.
But he used up all his takesy-backsy counters. Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah.
But
I think, and here's the thing. I look, And we kind of had to talk about this in the Discord in the host channel a little bit with another host. And, you know, the thing of it is this, is that I'm not a subscriber to cancel culture. I really ain't. Because I'm a content creator, I'm acutely aware because I'm a content creator that anything I say on this show especially can be used against me later if I'm not careful. So I am careful. Even no matter how much of this stuff I drink and all that, I am very careful. Likewise, in my personal life, I try to make sure that I'm careful because you have to be. I don't want to front. If I'm not inclusive and I'm not, you know, kind and generous to other people and I have a problem with various cultures or whatever, here's the thing. I'm not going to pretend I am. So here's the thing. I really work hard to make sure that I am inclusive and that I am somebody who tries to understand other cultures, even if I don't understand them. Because I don't. Sometimes there are things I'm just like, well, I just do not get that. But I'm willing to learn. All right. I don't sit in my ignorance. That being said, if I said something to offend somebody, if I did something to offend somebody, and they were like, we want him off Planeswalkers. Okay, well, that's my punishment. I get that. You know, the reason where I get into cancel culture is don't call my job. You know, let me earn a living. You know, let me, you know, it, kick me out of public. That's fine. So I think Michael David Lynch has to go. All right, for a while. He has to sit down. He can't be in the public eye. He has to take his little punishment. Do I think we should be calling movie studios or any place else where he might be working or making a living and saying, hey, you can't have this guy? No.
I don't think that's happening.
No, I don't think it is either.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening in this case because I think, like, looking at everything that I've seen, how this unfolded, she didn't bring this up.
No.
She wasn't the one that started all this. Apparently, yeah, so and here's the thing, too. I actually remembered one of the things I was going to say. One of the pieces of evidence that Mike used to defend himself was an interview that she did for like a post-production for the movie, talking about that scene and how she enjoyed filming it and how it was a great experience and how everything was really cool with the movie. The problem is that Michael Lynch directed and shot that interview with her.
Right.
So if it's for a promotional material for the movie, she's not going to speak badly in that forum. So that's like kind of a, you know, bullshit piece of evidence to use for your defense. And like I said, I don't think she wasn't the one that brought this up. I think part of the problem was that the newspaper, I think the Tampa Times was the first one to really go with
this.
They didn't contact her or her agents or anything asking for her permission or for comment for her name to be used or for Michael's name to be used or for the situation to be used in the article. I think they just kind of ran with it. I don't know if that's
how would they have gotten that info though? I can't imagine.
There was another article in the Washington Post that talked about this stuff.
Okay.
And I think they were able to get more information from that doing some work before they published.
I was going
to
say, that's lousy journalism if all they're doing is reprinting the post.
That's what I'm saying. It looks like some of the journalism wasn't up to snuff as far as doing due diligence and making sure everybody's okay with what you're about to publish.
Right.
I'm not saying any of this isn't true. I absolutely believe her.
He's come out saying it's true now. Yeah, he's
it's
saying
absolutely
it happened.
Yeah.
So
I don't think people are going after, like, they're not calling other places that he works, as far as I know, and asking for his head in that respect.
But in this case, he needs to go. He has to be out of the community. We have kicked people out for far less for a while. Now, I'm also a big fan of forgiveness. You know, like if they do the mea culpa and stuff, if he goes and works on himself and wants to come back in a year or two.
Which apparently he is.
Yeah. All right, cool. But, you know, I'm sorry. I don't agree with some of what's going on in here. Like, you know, Jake is like, I'm really a fan of tens of thousands of people, random faceless Twitter accounts, bandwagoning onto a group. I think that needs to happen sometimes. I think it has to. I don't think we want to put this genie back in the bottle. This is how we get a Harvey Weinstein. This is how we get a Bill Cosby. This is how we get, like, the best thing I can think of, the closest thing I can think of with this is Louis C.K. Louis C.K. didn't do really anything that a lot of comedians and a lot of musicians have done since time immemorial. The only difference is A, he got caught, and B, he admitted to it. And so he had to go, and he realized he had to go. He owned up to his mistake, and I think he'll come back in some time. But in this culture right now, we need to be such a way that we need to be inclusive. It has to happen. And our generation, Aramis, I think, because you and I are about the same generation. I might be a little ahead of you.
I'm technically a millennial.
Yeah, I'm a Gen X. Okay, so this is good. Like, my generation, Generation X, is having a hard time, you know, making the churn to gender fluidity, to all this stuff that's changing all around us. And, you know, I mispronounce sometimes. I don't mean to. And what I do is I say, look, I'm ignorant and I'm trying. You know, and I think as long as I'm trying, that's the key. Lynch apparently tried to downplay. That's a mistake. This is why I think Lynch has to go. It's not what happened 8 years ago. It's what happened 3 weeks ago. He tried to downplay. He tried to slut shame. He tried to kink shame this woman. That's where he doubled down. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the problem. He doubled down and then he apologized to her. But while he was apologizing to her, he was putting out things on Twitter saying that she was sleeping around.
Right. Which, that's the problem. That's slut shaming. It's slut shaming.
And the thing is, too, is like, and he was also using the official I Hate Your Deck Twitter to do it.
Yeah.
He has his own personal Twitter that he could have done this on. I mean, it still would have.
But it doesn't have as many followers.
Doesn't have as many followers. Now, am I saying that Michael Lynch needs to go away forever? Hell no. I hate your deck needs to die.
I fully believe it was a real apology. I think
the apology was real. However, I don't think it was as sincere as it should have been because of what he was doing in the context of the apology.
His publicist, if he has one, which reading the article, he may not. Because I don't know any publicist in Hollywood or anywhere else that would have let that go. Like, they would have said, whoa, back that train up. But in any event, his publicist or his people really probably encouraged him to apologize. Here's what probably happened is Card Kingdom or somebody reached out and said, look, this thing's gaining traction. You have to put a stop to it or we're going to have to go. And what he did was, maybe between when he heard from Card Kingdom and that stuff, is he started doubling down because he probably got offended. I would be offended. If somebody said all this stuff about me, I'd be offended. I would.
But here's the problem. This stuff came out. He knew it happened. She knew it happened.
Right.
Right? He spends the next couple of days going after her and then apologizes.
Yep.
And, you know, things go sideways when then she releases a statement later saying, I had initially had accepted his apology, but then when I found out the context of it and that what he was doing immediately before that apology, she retracted her acceptance of the apology. And that's when he started losing sponsors.
Yep.
2020 hindsight here. Here's what he should have done. As soon as that article drops and his name is in it, he knows what they're talking about. He already knows this happened. That's when you get ahead of it and be the bigger person. If you're going to be inclusive and you're going to be current and you're going to be, you know, with the way the times are now, that's when you come out and apologize. Yep. Unequivocally.
Yeah.
Unequivocally. I'm sorry this happened.
Louis C.K.
It was a few years ago, which, yeah, you know, this, it was before all the Me Too movement and everything blew up.
Louis C.K. And he might have still gotten canceled, people. He might have still.
Maybe, but that's the thing. Maybe not.
Yeah, because a lot of people think, and I keep bringing Louis C.K. up, but because I think he, out of all the people in the past 6 or 7 years that have been quote unquote canceled, he's the one that's the most divisive. Because a lot of some people think, again, he didn't do anything that other comics do, blah, blah, blah. Yes, he used his power to entice women, but, you know, there are some out there who believe, and I'm not one of them, I'm not subscribing to this. But they're, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's divisive. They're not sure if he should have been canceled or what, which is why I think he'll come back. But what he did was, when it came out, he's like, yes, it happened. I did this. I was wrong. I'm sorry. You know, and he did. And what happened was, is that where we were in the culture right then at Me Too, if it had happened now, I think people would have been a little more understanding. He would have lost some, but he would have been all right. But a lot of people, like, they were like, I'm sorry, you got to go. And so he's out.
Lynch's situation, like you said, and like I said before, he should have, again, this is 2020 hindsight, he should have apologized when this broke. I mean, because there was no secret to him and to Benita that this was something that had happened. He could have even just reached out to her first and say, did I do something wrong here? What's going on? I'm sorry.
Oh, he knew he did something wrong. He could have just said, I'm really sorry.
I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt in that, in that angle of it, even though he does not have any benefit of that doubt. The way he went about all of this was the worst track to take for basically every decision that he made going forward from the day that article got published. And I only have a small amount of sympathy for him because of the way things went down and because of the thing that he did. He should not have done that. It was a horrible thing to do. And yes, it was X number of years ago. He still needs to be held accountable.
Right.
Whether or not he decides to come back in some capacity to the Magic community, whether it's online with a new channel or what have you, that's fine. I don't care. I maybe I'll watch it, but right now he's got a debt to pay. He does. You can't, and there's no way you can't say he doesn't have a debt to pay, and he has to work on himself. Apparently he's going to therapy. I hope he is. And I hope if he is, I hope he continues. If he's not, I hope he starts.
Yeah.
He needs to work on himself, and I hope he becomes a better person because of it.
We wish him the best of luck. But we're going to skip the... Here's the thing. New Capenna Commander decks, they're delayed. Moving on. let's pivot off of there, off of all the negative. And I mean, we wish him the best. I want to talk about the New Capenna winner box. So here's where we're at. Big announcement time. Yay, yippee skippy, something positive. So let's talk about it here. The New Capenna winner box. Oh wait, not that. Jeepers. Yeah.
All negative. Woo! Yeah. Wait, no. Boo.
Here's the thing. So here's what we're gonna do right now. All right, inside of the Discord, inside your Patreon channel. So you have to have your Discord linked with Patreon. We have shown the sign up for the New Capenna winner box. We are doing best of three traditional standard. What does that mean? Well, what it means is that it is a best of three standard deck, not a brawl, not a commander, standard 60 card deck, 15, sideboard, using standard set, standard legal stuff from right now. And Huertas, thank you again very much. So let's just throw that up on the screen.
Quick note about that. Arena exclusives. No,
yeah, that's why
alchemy.
I'm saying traditional standard. Yeah. No alchemy. No arena exclusives. No. What's an example? Like, I think Platinum Angel is arena exclusive, isn't it? Or there's something in there that's like a stupid.
Well, you
card.
Can play. You can play. Shock.
Yeah. Shock is not legal.
That's not legal in standard.
Yes. So, it starts today. It is
so
in the Patreon.
Paper.
Oh,
it's equal to what paper standard is.
Yes.
So if the card you want to play is not in the paper set, it is not legal for this tournament.
Yes. So it starts today. Patrons can see it in the Discord. Go in, sign up. You get first dibs. Next Monday, I will open it up to everybody. So, and then again, I'm thinking very seriously that, I think the days of us going out and advertising on Facebook and stuff are done. If, you'll have at most a 1 in 32 chance to win a sealed booster box. But it'll probably be significantly less. Our last one was, 19? So, trust me, you're going to like it. So, we have a week of sign up for the patrons. Next week, we let anyone sign up. You know, I might do what I did before. I'll open it up to the Discord maybe Thursday or Friday. You know, like we've tended to do that a few times, like to reward the people that hang around in the Discord. So it'll be patrons Monday through till Friday, anyone in the Discord after that. And then, we go live next Monday with the last week of signups. And then a week after that, we're going to start the tournament. So we're looking for April 4th to start the tournament, which will... The reason we're doing this so early is that it's before previews. Aramis and I could do the show where we go through the deck list and we're not shortchanging previews because I want to preview this set. So, There is a lot of peeps in Discord, but not as many that play that you think. So I think going to standard might help. Here's the thing, folks. Yeah, you're going to want to beat Mono White. Just get ready to beat Mono White. Come up with that deck, man. Brew that deck.
Pick up your Wandering Emperors now.
Yes. So that's happening right now. Finally, the last thing I want to talk about is one of the first things we talked about. Please do not forget about our show this Saturday. The Extra Life show is happening. The link is in the Discord. I'll post it again. If you can't watch, at least donate. All the proceeds are going to the Children's Miracle Network. It's going to be earmarked for the Albany Children's Hospital here, which, yes, saved my son's life. So I'm very, very strongly supporting of this. The broadcast Saturday is going to be happening from 1 p.m. throughout the rest of the day. I could see us going till at least 6 or 7. It'll be Commander all day. It's going to start out with CEDH, so competitive EDH. We might do one or two rounds of that, and then we'll move into like our more stereotypical Commander Craft type of deck, so anywhere in that realm. And then we might move into pre-cons even. And then I know Kinetic wants to do a round of CEDH, so we'll probably have a round of CEDH later in the day. So
all I know is that there's at least one or two or maybe three chances that I can play Zakama.
Yeah. So here's the deal is that we're going to be a little loosey-goosey about it. We're going to have a little fun. But Jake, I know you want to do CEDH, but not everybody can play CEDH. So, and Muertis, thank you again. not everybody can play CEDH, and I want to be inclusive of them as well. So it's going to be a whole lot of fun. So we're looking forward to it. I really can't either. Wednesday night will be fun, but Saturday will be more fun. I think there's just going to be one round Wednesday because I want to save, you know, Commander. Again, Saturday, 1 p.m. on all of our channels. I'm going to get a hold of Dave this week and see if there's any, you know, see if he can get us some players as well. He might even be able to set up something at the store. So I may talk to him and be like, dude, set up a table at the store. They can log in and play with us from the store. So, yeah, I'm very, very, very excited for this. So, anything else you kind of want to talk about? Like I said, new competitive commander decks are going to be late.
Yeah, that sucks. The production delay.
Which is bullshit.
This time it's actually hitting North America, Canada.
It's actually bullshit. I'm sorry, it's bullshit. The pandemic has been over almost a year. I mean, yes, it's kind of
it's hung not around over yet.
Yeah, but the freak supply chain. Give me a freaking break. Here's the thing. You didn't plan to print another set of four.
Take off your tinfoil hat. There's more going on than that.
Yeah.
Look, Saturday, I'm super jazzed for that. I cannot wait. I got a metric fuck ton of decks
if
here.
If you want to play in this event, don't just sit here and talk about it in our chat. In the Discord, you have... Here's the thing. If you want to play, you have to be a part of the Discord, and I'm not being a dick about it. It's just the easiest way for us to be able to communicate with you in real time. There is a form in the Discord to do this, and I will repaste it again. I need you to go to that Google form. At that Google form, it's going to tell me what decks you have, what decks you'd like to play, and the period of time during the day that you cannot play. Because this is going to be the hardest thing, is us producing this special with shifting schedules and things like that. So I really want people to be there. Now, obviously, you're not going to sit there and watch 9 hours of Commander. I get that. Make it so that we can get a hold of you. Well, because you know what? It's a Saturday. Because people got things to do, man. Stream died. What? What?
Gasp.
Stream didn't die.
Stream died for you, maybe.
Yeah, the stream always dies for you. You always kind of bitch and moan about the stream. Hold on.
Oh, damn. But yeah, I can't wait for Saturday.
Yeah, I'm showing us still live on the stream. It's just really slow because I'm also looking at the stream. Yeah, there we go. So, okay. Down at in-laws tonight, I only get 5 commander decks before my liquidation. Okay. So, in any event, that's what's happening. Please join us and watch if you can't play, but we'd love to have you play. So, on that note, Let's go to End Step.
End Step.
As Aramis and I are rolling up our playmats and putting our cards back in their boxes and taking the pizza boxes over to the trash, because damn it, your mother still does not work in this Sam Goody store, we want to remind you that we both, I tend to a little bit more stream, but our Twitch channel, we'll just say that. We have a Twitch channel where we stream all sorts of content. Look up Planestalkers Podcast channel there. That's kind of becoming our main place. I mean, we do multi-streaming, but Twitch is kind of becoming our thing. You're going to see all the shows we do on both Magic as well as other geeky games. Oh, I forgot to tell you this, Aramis. Guess what I got Saturday? My daughter gave me her Switch. So I'll probably be streaming Switch games. Woo! So
give me your friend, Kobe. I'll kill you in Mario Kart.
Yes! I got Mario Kart! Yes! All right, I'm down. I'm down for this. All right, anyway, you know what? That I'll stream. So check us out on Twitch. You can also check me out on Twitch at Mindcrime73. So it's Planes and Darkers Podcast or Mindcrime73.
And if you want to interact with us in a more real-time fashion, you can join our Discord. We've talked about that a lot tonight.
Yes.
Discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. You want to join the Winter Box? You got to join the Discord. You want to join our, Commander Craft? Got to join the Discord. You want to talk with us? Extra Life too. Got to join the Discord. Look, we're not just peddling it because we want you to join our tournaments and stuff. We want you to join because it's a great community. I mean, there's a lot of good folks on there. They talk about all kinds of stuff all the time. So go check it out. Discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, I'm going to be tweeting out a few times this week, plugging the Extra Life tournament, and I'll also be tweeting other things as they come up. Look for us at PlanesTalkerPod on the bird.
And one more thing about Twitter. Don't forget, Cantrip Cartel, they use our Twitter as well. So if you want to go there, here's the thing. I'm starting to realize how emotionally fluid Jake can be. And there's nothing like seeing Jake go off. He's the host of Cantrip Cartel. So I highly recommend you join just to see him start going off. He did it tonight in the chat. You can see it. There's more where that came from. Come to the Discord. And my personal Twitter is at WR Benson, but I don't tweet there all that often. I tend to be on there just to follow Jake. And of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/planestalker, like and follow the page there. And don't forget, we do have our Commander Craft every Wednesday where we play Paper Commander live. Tune in on all of our channels around 7 Eastern Wednesday, where I will be champion again. And we hope to see you.
Jake, I don't know if you realize this, but him saying that he follows your Twitter is not a shining endorsement.
No, you need to listen to other episodes. You're in the company of B. Arthur's nude photos, Nickelback, New Kids on the Block, and I do believe El Jefe Orange Presidento himself.
Yeah, it's not exactly something on the list you want to be on. Anyway, if you want to send the show an email, maybe you want to email Jake, you want to email him, Will, to tell him that, you know, he might want to stop with that. Follow is a follow. That's true. Anyway, emails. We got 3 of them. Yeah, Jake is a follow whore on Twitter. So go ahead and follow his Twitter feed. He'll love it. Three
What's
email
funny
addresses.
Is I don't really follow him. So don't go to WR Benson looking for Jake.
Oh, snap. So anyway, 3 emails. One goes to the show. We both see it. Podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. One goes to Will. Only he can see it. Will@planestalkerspodcast.com. One goes to me. Only I can see it if I ever bother to check it. Mm-hmm. Aramis@planestalkerspodcast.com.
But because I'm just a system madman, I could technically see his.
He could technically see mine because he's just he's a weird voyeur, creepy thing.
Yeah. What's and up I agree with you getting naked pictures of Betty White? That's wrong, dude. She ain't been dead that long.
Yeah, but, you know, she's still, if they keep the coffin climate controlled, she's still warm.
Yeah, she was hot. I get that.
And Muertes, I agree. I actually saw Nickelback live, and it was a pretty good show.
What?
Yeah.
No. No. Yeah. No. No. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Wrong, sorry. Afraid so. Correct. 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 Wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong.
You're wrong. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm good.
Oh yeah, you did go through the emails. So Will, Aramis, and Podcast. So, and I guess on that happy. I mean, we finally had a happy note. You know,
yeah, so Nickelback's a good show live. that's a positive note.
We want to thank you guys for watching and listening and being a part of the Planeswalkers podcast. We'll be back Monday with our regular show, as well as Wednesday with Commander Craft, and Saturday, the Extra Life broadcast. Do not miss it. It will be on twitch.tv/Planeswalkers podcast. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thank you very much for listening, being a part of the show. And also thank you very much for just being you. And don't forget to leave some of your mana untapped, because you never know when you need it. Take care and have a great week. Bye-bye.
Look at that photograph.
Oh God, I thought I was muted. Oh shit.